I invite you to take your copy of the Word of God with me, please, to the book of 1 John. We continue to go verse by verse through this book of the Bible together. 1 John, it's no accident that it's toward the end of the Bible. And many of the things, even this morning, as we will see, dealing with the end times. 1 John chapter 2. You know, there are different ministries of in Christianity that emphasize different things. Some people, all they do is talk about prophecy. I don't think that that's what we should just talk about all the time. It's a big Bible that God's given us, and He certainly wants us to expound all the truths of salvation. He wants us to expound the truths of the Christian life. Prophecy is a big central theme in the Bible as well, but it's all about Jesus. But if we go through the Bible together, we just hit everything and deal with everything God wants us to deal with. So that's the case here this morning, because the verse that we're starting at where we left off is in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 18 together. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. And as we read together, notice what the Bible says. It says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Who is a liar? "But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ." He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." He says in verse number 18, "Little children, it is the last time." I believe it is the last time. John said that was true in his day. If you looked at a calendar of God, you would see several different things. He doesn't divide human history all up into the same amounts of time. There are very big events that happen in very short amounts of time. I certainly believe that God was doing something with the world when His Son was here. It's a very unusual time. It was a time like no other when Jesus Christ walked the earth and healed the sick and raised the dead, and God in the flesh walked with men. That was a very unique time in all of human history, and yet it lasted just 33 and a half years. And yet it was very important. It was a part of God's calendar and a way that He dealt with people upon this world. And we could go through the different times of the Bible. I'm not going to do that this morning, but the Bible speaks of the old times, and it speaks of ancient times. It speaks of the times of this ignorance. It speaks of the accepted time, which I love that time, because that's the time that God accepts all, that today is the day of salvation. And that's a wonderful time, and you're living in that time as well. But there are other times the Bible mentions as far as the latter part of God's calendar as He looks at human history. He calls it sometimes the last days. Sometimes He calls it the latter days. Sometimes the last time or the last times. There are last times and last days for Israel. There are also last times and last days for the church, because God doesn't deal with all of human history the same. He's dealing with the church right now that's in the world. He dealt with Israel before. He will deal in the very last days or the last few moments of this world in a different manner. But what I want to emphasize to you, and I really believe this, as we read this, "Little children, is the last time." I believe, I could be wrong, that this world system could continue to go on and on and on, but I really believe that you're living in the last days of the church. And I believe it's a very prophetical thing, and I believe it's a very serious thing, and I believe the Word of God gives us many things to let us know that we're in those last days of the church. And that's not my message this morning, but if you knew it was the last time, if you knew that you were living to the end, would you make different choices? Would you have different priorities? You know, a lot of times people talk about the world coming to an end. They see some guy out there, you know, with a sign saying the world's going to end. Well, the world is going to end one day. And you are going to leave this world one day. And God does have a plan. And if it is the last time, are we living like it? Are we living like we're on borrowed time? I believe this world is on very borrowed time. I believe it's fast going to fleet away. And the things that are occupying most people's attention, when the Lord comes, they won't be so important. And so he begins talking to his readers about the last time, and this is what he says. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. I want you to take a little understanding from this verse in the Bible and get the difference of what he just said. He says, ye have heard that Antichrist, that's singular, shall come. Antichrist, a certain man, a certain person who occupies much prophecy in the Bible, is coming. He says, you've heard of that. Of course, Paul wrote much about that. He said, you've heard that Antichrist shall come. But then he says, even now are there many Antichrists. So there is one Antichrist that ushers in the most serious time this world has ever seen in the way of judgment. But yet there are many Antichrists that have led us to see and know what this Antichrist that's coming going to do. Forerunners, if you please, of the one that is coming. John is the only one that uses that phrase, Antichrist. He uses it four times. Now, Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 24, there would be false Christs. And he's talking about the same kind of issue. But he's saying, even if you know that Antichrist shall come, and I want to say this, and we'll mention it again, but the church, when the Antichrist manifests himself, the Antichrist, not the many, but the Antichrist, the one that has like 25 different names in the Bible, so much about him in the Bible. When the Antichrist is manifested, the church is going to be gone. And the reason that I say that, and I know that is the case, because, you know, in this same chapter, look at the end of the chapter. He's not trying to get these readers to be so enthralled about Antichrist coming. He's trying to get them excited about the Lord Jesus Christ coming. Look at that at the end of the chapter. He talked about these Antichrists. But then he says in verse 28 of 1 John 2, and now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear. He's not talking about Antichrist, he's talking about Jesus Christ. We may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You say, how do you know that? Verse number 2 of chapter 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So understand, Antichrist shall come, but before he gets here, Jesus is going to come. And the reason I know that is before Antichrist comes, because all through the epistles, you know what he tells the church? He says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't tell you to look for the Antichrist. The Bible tells you to look for Jesus Christ. Now, if Jesus Christ was going to come after the Antichrist, don't you think he would tell me to look for the Antichrist so that I would get prepared for when Jesus Christ does come? But that's not what he says. The Bible over and over tells us one thing is his people. Be looking, be watching, be waiting for your Savior to come. We're not waiting for the world to blow up. We're not waiting for the mark of the beast. It'll help you so much with your life if you get your theology straight on the end time. God doesn't want you walking around wondering and worried about taking the market. You know, that could not possibly happen before Jesus comes, because the Bible says that we who are saved, we are sealed unto the day of redemption. And there's no way that we could even possibly take the mark of the beast. It would be an impossibility, because whoever takes the mark of the beast goes to hell. Guys, I can't take anything and go to hell. I mean, pass it along. Put a coat in my hand. Tattoo my forehead. Amen. Do whatever you want to my body. You cannot take away my salvation. I am kept by the power of God. I'm not worried about the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. But he says this, that right now, in our day, in the church day, though Antichrist shall come, right now there are many Antichrists in the world, and that spirit is pervading our days and the days of the church. Look at 1 John chapter 4. He tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, believe not, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Look at verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Do you see the difference he's making? He talks about Antichrist shall come, but then he talks about the spirit of Antichrist is already here. We're going to find out what that is in just a moment. But let me talk to you first about, you've heard that Antichrist shall come. I think a lot of Christians are, they've not studied adequately all that God says about that Antichrist that shall come. Jesus talked about him. Daniel talked about him. You see, why is it important for us to talk about the Antichrist since we're going to be gone when he arrives? Because you need to spot his spirit. You need to spot his deceptive work that's going on in the world. Because that spirit of Antichrist is deceiving people everywhere. The Antichrist in the Bible, though he's the word Antichrist only four times in John's gospel, in John's writings, he's known by other names. Jesus called him the son of perdition. Paul mentioned him as that man of sin. The Bible calls him the prince that shall come. John described him in Revelation chapter 13 as the beast. The beast. And the beast is likened to a leopard. The Antichrist is likened unto a leopard. And a leopard has a white belly and yellow skin and black spots. The all-encompassing get-together of all the races. You know, we have such a racial issue. You know, the devil's going to send a man to this world to solve all of that problem. He's the devil's Superman. Instead of God's Christ, who's the way, the truth, and the life, he is going to be the devil's man that's going to bring a lie to this world. He's called the little horn. He's called a king of fierce countenance. The Bible calls him that wicked. The Bible mentions him as the mystery of iniquity in contrast to the mystery of godliness. So many things about Jesus. Antichrist is obviously opposite of all that. The mystery of godliness versus the mystery of... Jesus is called the mystery of godliness. He's God manifest in the flesh. Satan is called the mystery, or the Antichrist is called the mystery of iniquity. The Antichrist is called the beast. You know what Jesus is called in the Bible, New Testament? The lamb. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have a lamb than a beast. The Bible lets us know that Jesus Christ in the book of Genesis is called the seed of the woman, whereas the Antichrist is the seed of the serpent. The Bible tells us that our Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, came down from above. But did you know that the Antichrist, according to Revelation 11:7, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit? That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, John 5:33. But the Antichrist is going to come in his own name. Jesus humbled himself, did he not? Antichrist will exalt himself above all that is called God. Jesus Christ was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The Antichrist will be wondered at and worshipped and received. Jesus came not to do his own will. Satan, the Bible says, is going to do his will, or the Antichrist's will. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Antichrist will come to destroy the people in this world. Our Christ is called the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd. The Antichrist is called the Idle Shepherd, the Foolish Shepherd, the Consuming Shepherd. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Antichrist is the son of perdition. Jesus Christ is the man of sorrows, but the Antichrist is the man of sin. Jesus Christ brought the truth. He is the truth. But the Antichrist will bring a lie to this world. Jesus Christ cleansed the temple, but the Antichrist will defile the temple. Do you know when the Antichrist comes, he's going to do miracles? As a substitute, as a persuasive thing in opposite of Jesus Christ, or to prove himself that he is Christ, by doing miracles as well. Matter of fact, the Bible says he's going to have a wound and he's going to live after he gets that deadly wound. I believe the Antichrist is going to rise from the dead. I believe that's where he comes up out of the bottomless pit, because he was and he is not, and then he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. What about that Antichrist, and how do I spot his spirit in our age? Would you go to Daniel 11? I've preached a whole series of messages on Daniel 11. I'm just going to hit the highlights, but he talks about in our text today, you've heard that Antichrist shall come, but now there are many Antichrists. How do you spot those? Well, get these characteristics of the Antichrist down. We're introduced to the Antichrist in Daniel chapter 11, verse 21. You say, how do you know that? Because he places the abomination that maketh desolate in this chapter, in verse 31, which Jesus prophesied of. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 11, verse 20, then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate, now this is the Antichrist, shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. That's the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to take over the world without a shot. He'll do it by his intellect. He'll do it by his education. He'll do it by his peace that he offers. He'll do it by flattery. It's interesting that he stands up in the estate of the raiser of taxes. You do know that taxes are a way to control people. I said taxes are a way to control people. Do you know what the Antichrist does when he comes in and he inherits all this situation of this raiser of taxes? In verse number 24, he starts passing out the spoil to everybody. That's verse 24. He shall enter peaceably upon the fattest of the province. He shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. You know what he's going to do? He is going to redistribute the wealth after all the taxation has taken all of the money from the people. That sound familiar anywhere? He flatters. He talks of peace and he deceives the nations by it. That's the spirit of our age. The spirit of our age is, let's just all get along. Isn't it interesting to you that I think Putin is a butcher. And I would much rather Ukrainians kill Russian soldiers than we have to kill them. But isn't it interesting to you that every godless nation, every person on the face of the earth is against what's happening over in Ukraine, including us, of course. You know what they want? They just want peace. Godless people want peace.
Everybody wants peace. Let's just do away with the war. The Antichrist is going to fulfill that. He is going to fulfill that, and he's going to be a political leader, not a religious leader. He's a man of flattery. He's going to exalt himself. You see there in verse number 36, the Bible says in Daniel 11:36, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. I would hate to say this, and I don't want to offend anyone this morning. It's not my intention. But when we exalt ourselves and when we magnify ourselves, do you know that we have the spirit of Antichrist about us? Because that's exactly what he does. And the spirit of Jesus Christ is what? It's humility. It's humbling him. Do you not see that persuasive spirit in our world of the exaltation of self, the magnification of self? The Bible says he'll magnify himself, verse 36, above every god. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says he'll exalt himself above God himself and sit in the temple of God as God. And he is not, this is really interesting, he's not religious. Now, many have said the Antichrist is Catholic or this, that, and the other. No, he's none of those. Now, we can have another discussion about the false prophet about that regard. But look what the Bible says about the Antichrist. And look where you live today. And tell me that there are not many Antichrists in the world. Verse 36, and the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. It don't matter which god it is. And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation is accomplished, for that is determined, shall be done. Verse 37, we'll look at it. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god. Do you see that in the Bible? Antichrist doesn't regard any god. He doesn't regard a Christian god. He doesn't regard a Catholic god. He doesn't regard a Muslim god. He doesn't regard a Buddhist god. He doesn't regard a Hindu god. He doesn't regard any god. He's an atheist. Do you know what's more prevailing in America now than anything else? People are just turning from God, period. They just don't believe in anything. They don't even care what it is. That is the spirit of Antichrist is working in the world. We don't need God. Well, God's just a crutch for religious people to get over their fears. And God's not really real. I mean, you go over to England right now. England's so godless. But look, they're not Muslim and Hindu. They just are nothing. We're heading fast to the place where everybody is nothing. You know why? It's the spirit of Antichrist. I see something else in verse 37. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, underline this church, nor the desire of women. Do you see that in the Bible? Now, what is the desire of women? We can't just make that up. There's a Bible verse for that. It's in Genesis, all the way back to chapter 3, where God addresses the woman in Genesis 3:16. And he says, thy desire, speaking to the woman, shall be to thy husband. So we know this, the Antichrist is anti-family. He's anti-marriage. He's against women wanting a husband. Now, you can include homosexuality in that. You can include transgenderism in that. But you can also include people that just shack up and have no use for marriage. And that is the spirit of our age. Why get married? Let's just do what we want to do. A woman desiring a husband, desiring a man? Do you understand that is Antichrist's creed? That women don't need men. Women don't need a husband. That is the Antichrist creed. Do you know where you're living? Can you see that spirit? It's not just another lifestyle. It's not just another philosophy. It's not just another change in a changing world. It is the spirit of Antichrist.
He says, he shall come, but there are many antichrists in the world. Now let's go back to our text in 1 John, because as we spot these antichrists, we don't just spot them about the characteristics of the antichrist that shall come. He tells us what these other antichrists are going to espouse. He said in 1 John 2:18, many antichrists. Even now are there many antichrists. And he mentions that. Look at verse 22. We read it this morning. 1 John 2 and verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So he says these many antichrists, they are going to err in the doctrine concerning who Jesus is and who Jesus' Father is. Antichrist is denying the Father and the Son. Not just the Father, not just the Son, but the Father and the Son. He said in 2 John, just a page or two over, 2 John, one little chapter. 2 John, he says in verse 7. 2 John verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things as we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You know what he's saying? He says, don't cooperate with the spirit of Antichrist. Now, what do these many antichrists do? They err in the doctrine of the Father and the Son. Immediately, listen, immediately, without hesitation, dogmatically I can say, the rise of the Mormon church in the last 100 years is the spirit of Antichrist, because they err about who Jesus Christ is. They do not believe what the Bible says about the person of Jesus Christ. He is just another God amongst many, many, many millions of gods. It's Antichrist. You know, we want to get along so well with other people. When we see Mormon people, what do? Do we say, you know, you're Antichrist. Don't come into my house. Jehovah's Witnesses, it's Antichrist system. They err in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. He said, don't let them in your house. They believe Jesus was a created God. I'm sorry. That has nothing to do with the New Testament. That has something to do with an Antichrist system. I'll go a step further. Islam is the spirit of Antichrist. You know why? Because they err in the doctrine of the Father and the Son. You say, well, don't Muslims talk about Jesus? Yes, but they don't say he was God's son. You know why? Because in Muslim religion, Allah had no son. Are you listening to me? Allah had no son. That's how you know that all of Islam is part of this spirit of Antichrist, because he says he is Antichrist that doesn't acknowledge the Father and the Son. Amen. I'm glad. Listen, it's not a generic God. It's God the Father who had a Son. You can't have a Father without having a Son. And I'm glad I know who the Son was. The Son set me free. And there is no hope in Islam. And what a fast moving religion. Why does the devil let it go? Because it's part of the spirit of Antichrist. Anything to detract from the Father and the Son. Is that many antichrists that are in the world. Hinduism, Buddhism, they don't acknowledge the Father and the Son. Atheism, it doesn't acknowledge the Father and the Son. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe that God was God the Father through Mary's womb. They did a conception that was a miracle. They don't believe that. Spirit of Antichrist. You say, okay, preacher, what does all that have to do with me? Well, I'm glad you asked. That's verse 19. Because church, in this last time, we not only have many antichrists, we have a great departing. He said in verse number 19, they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. In the last days of the church, we're going to have a great apostasy. In the last time, there is a great leaving. I'm not talking about people that never knew God. I'm talking about people that were a part and then they left. Now let me say this to clarify. Just because somebody leaves an independent Baptist church does not mean they're not saved. When we're talking about leaving, we're not talking about somebody that changed churches. We're not even talking about somebody that changed lifestyles. You know, if somebody changed churches and they don't go to Baptist church anymore and they've got a liberal lifestyle, and you know what it proves? It doesn't prove that they're not saved. It just proves that they were not of us. In other words, they don't have our view of biblical Christianity. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say? I believe there are saved people that don't go to independent Baptist churches, that don't live a godly lifestyle. I know that. He's not talking about people that are backslidden or not following the precepts of the Lord in their daily life, which are probably the majority of saved people. But you know, when people start categorically moving away from our doctrines and our belief system, we're not talking about somebody couldn't get along and they went out from us, or somebody had a problem. But when they leave us of our standing position, do you really understand what's going on right now with people leaving the Bible? I'm not just talking about John Smith that goes to church that one day said, I don't care about the Bible anymore. You know, there are Christian authors and Christian singers and Christian celebrities and Christian pastors that are renouncing their Christianity right and left everywhere. North, south, east, west. I'm talking about people that are looked at as leaders. You say, well, what are these liberal churches and stuff? No, I'm talking about independent Baptists. I was just in a meeting. Somebody grabbed me and they said, brother, you know brother so-and-so had this great music ministry? I said, yeah, man, music's great. Said, he renounced Jesus. I said, what? Yeah, he got online, he renounced Jesus. Renounced the Bible. There's independent, there used to be independent Baptist pastor that used years and years and years ago used to be connected with this church that renounced the Bible. Pastor, independent Baptist pastor. They went out from us. They were not of us. If they'd been of us, they'd no doubt have continued with us. I'm not saying that people don't backslide. I'm not saying that people don't have sin in their lives and they don't get out of church. But I'm telling you something. We got something else going on in this age. There's a lot of professors that have never had any possession. How in the world? Look, my whole life can be torn apart. I can be disappointed. I can get bitter. I can get angry. I can get involved in sin. How in the name of God can I deny Jesus? How could I ever say the Bible's not real? It's more real than I am. I believe in the Bible more than believe in myself. People that I've pastored, years and years ago, I've seen them leave God. You're in the last time. And this is what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid sometimes the people that I preach to are part of these people in this verse. Maybe they came to church, but that's all it was. You see, when you come to church and you don't have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, it's really easy to leave something you never had. It's really easy to walk away from something that never meant anything to you in the first place. And if our Bible really doesn't mean anything, do we just carry it? It's just a book. Did mom and dad tell us it was great? We got it in our hand. We just grew up that way. I grew up eating cereal. But I don't anymore. It's just something we do. Guys, it is pervading our whole society because it's a spirit of Antichrist. It's getting around God but not knowing God. Never had a time in my heart that I've humbled my heart and received from my heart and believed in my heart. It was just all something to do. And it's easy to walk away from that. But if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you can't walk away wholesale from God, friend. And don't misunderstand me. There's a difference. Listen to me now. There's a difference between Demas and John Mark. There are a lot of people that went out from... All of the disciples went away from Jesus. Every one of them left him. Are you listening to me? Peter... You know what? There's about that much difference between Peter and Judas. One betrayed and one denied. But you know what's different? What's on the inside of those boys was different.
Right. Yes, sir.
And one of them went out bitterly and wept. He said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and those people were all worried about maybe they missed the rapture and stuff. He said, no, there's going to come a falling away first. Everywhere we look, guys, people falling away from that Bible. Ah, it's just man's book. I even got on the internet last night. I don't usually do this. I read so much trash last night of former pastors and former singers and former Christian authors, and I listened and I read all the stuff they wrote about why they left God and why they left the church and why they left the Bible. And a lot of it was just human reasoning. Let me tell you something. If God doesn't exist, you're not smart enough to figure that out. I mean, who do people really think they are? You really think you've got the eternity figured out?
Yeah.
You got the whole world figured out? Guys, people can't even function. And yet they come up this big treatise why I left Christianity. Or why the Bible. Oh, the Bible is just a narrow-minded book. Maybe it says something you don't like. There's not another book in the world like that.
Right.
Without that book, how do you know where you came from? How do you know where you're going? You don't. You just have to write a bunch of stuff and sound real smart. Well, they can't. You know, a lot of them leave because they just can't stomach all the doctrines of the Bible. Whether it's about sin or whether it's about hell. Hey guys, I don't like the idea of hell either. And I mean, it's not true. Oh God, why would he? God didn't want you to go to hell. But you're going to go to hell if you don't trust Jesus Christ. And I didn't say that. Jesus said that. And this is what they all try to do. I read them. I read them last night until I was ad nauseum. I read all that stuff. And this is what they all said. They didn't want to say anything bad about Jesus because he was nice, you know. Jesus is nice. He has good ethics and a good philosophy. And he's kind and caring. And that's what we need. We just need to help each other. What a humanitarian view of life, that life is just about people who are broken and sinful and perverted. It's not about people. It's about the one that made us. But they kept talking about how nice and how wonderful Jesus was. We're not saying we're that Jesus was a bad person. It's just that Bible. Well, look, you can't say that. Because if Jesus Christ was not who he said he was, he's a liar. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't say that's a good person if he's telling you a lie.
Right.
You can't say that's a wonderful man if he's the one talking about hell.
Right.
He is either a deluded, psychotic,
He's got to be. If he thinks he came from heaven and he didn't, he is insane. If you turn away, you can't just turn away from parts of that. You got to throw the whole thing in the garbage. You got to say that Jesus was a liar and a deceiver.
But every time you roll the calendar at your house, it's going to be dated by that one man. And it ain't going to change that any at all. We've got people leaving us. They leave the doctrines of the Bible. They leave the Bible itself. They leave Jesus. They leave the lifestyle, a godly lifestyle. Guys, we're living in the day of apostasy. And many, I've got some of my friends, and they are the definition of apostasy. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. So this is my question. Are you with us?
Amen.
What do you mean, are you? I'm just reading the Bible.
Yeah.
Are you with us?
Yeah.
What does it mean? You mean, are we all Baptists and believe the same? Are you with us? You know what we're with? We're with the Bible.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't even care what it says. I believe it.
Amen. Right.
It don't even matter what it is. I just submit myself to your word, Lord.
Yeah.
I believe that's from God.
Amen.
I believe, look, if there was a God that was a benevolent God that created creatures, he would have to communicate to them through a book. And he has. And so I'm with that.
Amen.
And I, look, I'm not with anybody that's not with that.
Yeah. Amen.
Are you with us? Or are you just here? I'm with Jesus. I love him.
Amen.
I love the Lord.
Amen.
He's real to me.
Yeah.
He really lives in my heart.
Yes,
he answers my prayer. He receives my worship. He speaks to me through his word.
Amen.
I'm with Jesus. I'm not leaving him.
Yeah.
I couldn't leave him. I'm like the disciples. To whom should we go?
Right. Yeah.
Where are we going to go? We're going to go to the woke crowd? We're going to go to our relatives. They're all going to die. Where do we go? We're going to go to some philosopher. Going to go to Hollywood. Going to go to politics. Where are you going to go? There's nowhere to go. And if that's not true, then there's nothing true. And if we can't stay with Jesus, there's nowhere else we can go. Are you with us? They went out from us. They were not of us. If they were of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. And the Antichrist and the deceiver just keeps pulling them out and pulling them away. Maybe they're professors and not possessors. Maybe some sin or deception has got a hold of their life. But he keeps pulling them away. One by one, until one day he'll have the whole world. But he ain't going to have me, because I'm going to be gone. Because I'm looking for the one who shall appear. And I tell you what, when he appears, I want him to look at me. That's going to be the test. When my eyes hit his eyes, hey, you understand? You know, when you haven't seen somebody a while and you just meet eyes, that's all. It tells you a whole volume.
Yeah.
And when he appears and I look in his eyes, I don't want to be a part of that apostate crowd, that crowd that disappointed him or denied him or betrayed him. Because it ain't got nothing to do with the world and it doesn't got nothing to do with any people. It's got to do with Jesus and me, you see. I'm not here because of you.
I'm here because he's real. I'm not here because it's just a religion or I'm afraid to live my life without a religious crutch. No, no. I believe down in the bottom of my soul that one day I'm going to leave this world and I'm going to look into the face of God. And he's my Father. And I've received his Son. And there's no turning back from that. Are you with us?